a reading now from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends and surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and the love of God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. There was a middle-aged lady that was getting to that point of time in life where she was prioritizing her needs, her desires, and just how to reach the fullness of life. And she noticed things more often, as we often do. She noticed the simple pleasures, walking down the street on a beautiful fall day and seeing the colors change in the trees. And as she was trekking down her neighborhood, she began to notice this little old man sitting on his porch, it seemed every afternoon. And he always yelled out and waved to her. He always seemed to be full of life and vibrance and just joy. So the curiosity got the best of her, and she approached him one afternoon and she said, "You know, you have the warmest spirit. I just want to ask you, what's the secret to your happiness? And what's the secret, do you think, to long life and fullness?" He said, "Well, I can tell you my secret." He said, "My secret is that I don't exercise. I eat a lot of fatty foods. I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes every day, and I drink a case of whiskey every week." She said, "That's your secret of happiness." She said, "Well, I've got to ask you, and that's your secret of fullness of life. How old are you, sir?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm 28 years old." His secret wasn't for everybody, was it? His happiness was built on things that ultimately took away from him instead of adding to it. You know, all of us in life seek happiness. Or in the words of St. Augustine, one of the forebears of our faith in the earliest centuries, he said this. He said, "Without exception, all try their hardest to reach the same goal, joy." You see, Augustine would say to us that joy is that gift from God that transcends happiness or transcends circumstances. Joy. As Steve Willie read to us this morning in our scripture, is the fullness of life found in God even when life is dark, when life is hard, when adversities are all around. In this scripture that we're reflecting on today, where Paul wrote a letter to the church in Philippi, he says these words that we begin, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And even as Paul wrote those words, many of us that are mindful of this writing know that Paul was imprisoned at the time. He was living in a literal darkness, persecution, peril, wondering if his life would even continue much longer. And at the depth of his despair, when the chips were all stacked against him, Paul said this, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And for me, and I suspect even some of you, that statement from Paul provokes a question. How, Paul, can we do it? How can we find joy when life is not joyful? How can we find joy when we are facing our own challenges, our own adversities at work, in family, in school, in life. How, Paul, can we find your joy? You know, if we back up in this book, this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, he tells us very early in that writing, I think, his secret of living in joy always. He says these words as he began that writing in the very first chapter, verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Now let's unpack that a little bit. There's two words that really jump out at me in that text that Paul is saying to his friends and to us modern day friends of Christ. He says, I thank my God. And when I thank my God, the last word he said was, I pray with joy. See, when I hear Paul saying to me that in thanksgiving, in being thankful to God, we know the fullness of God's joy. Perhaps that's the secret that Paul has learned. When he says in this book of the Bible, he says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Paul would say, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and who is my joy. Joy of the Lord, indeed, in the words of Nehemiah, is our strength. And Paul says to us that we find that joy in being more thankful. And in case we miss it, Paul not only begins his letter with these words, he ends this letter. He's a good preacher, right? He tells you what he's going to tell you. He tells you, and then he tells you what he told you. Y'all don't want me to preach like that, do you? In this passage, Paul begins by saying, when I'm thankful, I'm joyful. Did you hear how our scripture lesson for today began? Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all things. And here's what happens. The peace of God, the hope of God, and the joy of God will be yours. Friends, I receive that. I celebrate that. I've lived that. Because I've tried to find my happiness in the things of the world like the little old 28-year-old man. I've tried to find it in the temptations of life, the hunger for success, power, glory, whatever it is that we seek to fill us that leaves us empty, because there's only one thing we can fill with a God hole in our life, and that's God. And that's the joy that we receive in Him. And Paul says, when we give thanks, we know the fullness of His joy. But maybe you're saying today, look, preacher, I hear you. And that's a good sermon to share on Sunday morning when things are good and I'm with my family, or I don't have the pressures of work staring me right in the face this morning. I hear what you're saying. That's a good sermon, but you don't understand the full story. You see, I've got a hunger for more joy. But I've got a payroll to make next week. I've got a hunger for more joy, but I've got a sports team to run in, and we've got to win games. I've got a hunger for joy, but you don't know these knuckleheads that I work with and how hard they are to get along with. I want more joy in the spirit of Paul, but I'm also living in the real world, preacher. Give me a break, I hear you. Does it really work, I guess is what we're saying. Can we be honest today? Can we be honest in the pulpit? Can we be honest today and say, does this joy thing really work outside of these walls? When we have bills to pay, when we have sickness facing us, when we have challenges at work, in family. We see, Paul, I think, is not just telling us about joy for the sanctuary, but he's telling us about joy so we can be sanctuary to the world around us. Does it work in the real world? That's the question. Leadership expert John Adair says this. He offers this model, what he calls a short course on leadership, for you coaches, for you business leaders, for you family leaders. He says, here is a short course on leadership. He said the six most important words in leadership are these: I admit I made a mistake. The five most important words in leadership: I am proud of you. The four most important words in leadership: what is your opinion? The three most important words in leadership: if you please. The two most important words in leadership: thank you. The most important word in leadership: we. And the least important word: I. Isn't it surprising that John Adair, a British lecturer, philosopher, and leadership guru, listed as one of his six principles essential to leadership are these two words: thank you. So does it work in the real world? Embodying what Paul says, an attitude of gratitude. Maybe you're saying, well, okay, I'll give you that one. But I'm facing real emotional brokenness or mental peril. I'm up against an addiction or a depression that's bigger than me, and I can't find joy, Jody. So what does the medical industry say about giving thanks? A few years ago, a psychologist who teaches at Harvard University named Sean Aker did a study on people practicing gratitude. And he gathered a group of those he was studying. He said, every day for 1 week, I want you to pause for 5 minutes at the same time each day, and I want you to list at least three things that you're thankful for. Aker evaluated the responses, and he found that 1 month later, even after the exercise was concluded, that those who practiced that gratitude for 5 minutes every day, the same time every day, were less depressed, less anxious. There was more joy. He found the same results 2 months later, 3 months later. See, friends, if we're facing darkness, as we heard read this morning in our Advent reading, if we're facing peril, emotional despair, friends, that even in that, even beyond the leadership principles that Adair spoke about, that if we embody more of a spirit of gratitude, there will be more joy in our lives. It's been proved in business. It's proven in medical. And as Paul says in our scripture today, it is evident in scripture. There is joy in being thankful, in counting our blessings, in celebrating what God has done, even in the holiness of this season. You know, I think the opposite is true as well. I think if we want to find more darkness and more peril in our life, then let's just forget about this gratitude stuff. And let's just wallow in ourselves. I guess what I'm saying, that ingratitude is the secret to despair. Some of you are familiar with the book, Who Moved My Cheese, right? The business guru workshop that tells this lesson of two little mice. Sorry, Manya. She's not a fan of mice. She doesn't even like a mouse, much less mice. And in this book, there's two small mice named Sniff and Scurry. And there's two little people about the same of mice named Him and Haw. And they live in this place and they eat their cheese and they love it. And Him and Haw become so, they just love their cheese and they get fat and sassy and they feel like that cheese is theirs and they've earned it and they deserve it. And one day the cheese goes away. And Sniff and Scurry, they do like any smart mice. They go find more cheese. They take action. But Him and Haw, they wallow in themselves. They cry out at the injustice. They say, woe is me. It was my cheese. And they wallow and wallow and find more and more darkness and despair. You see, that's a lesson on leadership and taking action when adversity is upon us. But you know what else I think it is? It's a lesson of this. I think the greatest challenge for Him and Haw was their ingratitude. Their lack of celebrating what they'd been given. Their attitude of expectation instead of their attitude of gratitude. Friends, it is central to our faith. That's why we come to worship on Sunday morning more than anything else, more than singing songs, praying confession, listening to a preacher, and reading scripture. We come here for one primary sole purpose, to worship our God and say thank you. It's at the root of our faith. Our God loves us enough that He wants us to know His joy that Paul spoke of. And he said the secret of joy is found in being thankful. Anne Voskamp, that I've quoted to many of you before, who wrote the book 1,000 Gifts, says this about being thankful. She says, as long as thanks is possible, joy is possible. So this morning, as the Apostle Paul ended his scripture by saying to the church in Philippi, I receive today and I say to the church in Ripley, rejoice in the Lord. Always, and give thanks in every circumstance so that the fullness of His joy may be yours. Amen.